eyes. Close your eyes. Sit up straight, comfortable. Let's recite Om three times. Inhale. We'll do the invocation to Sage Patanjali. Go to read, you can read that, otherwise you can just close the eyes and listen in. Inhale. Yogena chittasya padena vacham malam sharirasya cha vaidyakena yopakarotam pravaram muninam patanjalim pranjaliranatosmi patanjalim pranjaliranatosmi. One of you can read the English translation. Can you read that from here?
Yeah. I respect and bow down and hold the hand and offer my salutations to Sage Patanjali, the highest among the munis, or sages, who has presented the remedies for removing the impurities of the body through his treatise on Ayurveda, of language through his treatise on grammar. Patanjala Mahabhashya.
Right.
And the impurities of the chitta or mind field through his treatise on yoga, the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali.
That's me. The great sage Patanjali. So, Denise has not been here in these sessions before. So, what we have been doing is to study the Yoga Sutras. And currently, this is all a part of what's called the eight limbs of yoga. So, there are eight limbs of yoga, and this is sort of a study that we've been continuing for a long time now on the eight limbs of yoga. The last three limbs is what we've been focusing on in the last almost three or four sessions now. And these are all the stages of meditation. So there are three stages of meditation: dharana, dhyana, and samadhi. Dharana is the focus, dhyana is the actual focusing on your object of meditation, and samadhi is the final absorption in that object of focus. Okay, so that's what we've been studying. And we've been going sutra by sutra, you know, we've taken every sutra one by one and then kind of trying to understand what that might mean. Okay, so far we've studied all the sutras in chapter 1, a couple in chapter 2, etc. Finally today, we're going to touch upon all the sutras in chapter 3. Okay, now the chapter 3 is called the Vibhuti Pada. Vibhuti Pada. Vibhuti means all these super normal powers that one can attain through the practice of yoga. Okay? So in preparation of that, Patanjali talks about the very structure of meditation, what kind of changes we go through in the mind when we go through meditation and what might happen eventually. And why, then he of course goes into a little more discussion of why we can get some of these super normal powers as we deepen our meditation in different aspects. Okay? So that's the whole kind of the focus of chapter 3 on super normal powers. And as a part of that, he also goes into some depth of explaining what meditation does to our mind. Okay, so what kind of changes we go through in the mind. So even though these three steps, dharana, dhyana or samadhi or focus, meditation and final samadhi, they are listed separately, but what Patanjali is saying is, eventually you'll end up doing all of these three on whatever you're trying to focus on together. So the term, he has coined a term for all these three together, he calls it sanya, sanyama. S-A-M-Y-A-M-A. Okay? That's the term he has been using for practicing meditation on all three stages of meditation, on whatever you want to focus on. Okay? That's the whole concept here of practicing meditation on different objects, and then depending on the object you can develop certain supernormal powers. Alright? But before we get there, again, this is a background information, we've talked about it before. He says it's a good idea to understand what are the different states of the mind that you can be in. Okay? So the very first state is what he calls the Kshipta state, K-S-H-I-P-T-A, Kshipta, which, as you will see here, is the state where the mind is running all over the place, all over the place, all the time. Which is the state which we normally are in all the time, okay? And the mind is not stable, it's thinking of this and that and everywhere, running around. It's the scattered state of the mind, it's called the Kshipta. Then next he talks about the state called the Mudha, M-U-D-H-A, which is more like, you know, when you are in a state of fatigue completely, or you just want to do nothing, just sit and have a bag of potato chips and then watch a football game, glass of beer and all that, you know, that's the state of mudha, when you want to do no thinking whatsoever. Your mind is fried and you want to be a couch potato, that's it, okay? And that's the mudha state. Mudha means you're completely out of it, deluded and lazy and lethargic and don't want to think, no concentration, no focus, nothing. The third state is where you start thinking about something and then you are able to focus even a short time. Okay? So first it was Kshipta, which is totally scattered. This state is called Vikshipta. You add in the prefix V. And this means that you are now able to focus at least for a short amount of time on something. So if you're working on a project, okay, at work for example, then you are able to focus on that project at least for some amount of time, then you might drift away and start planning your vacation, etc. Those things happen. Alright, so that's the Vikshipta state. Then you start getting into a deeper state of focus and concentration. The next state is called the Ekagra state. Ekagrata, ekagra. Ek is one, oneness, the one-pointed focus. That is when you start staying at focused at your point of object of meditation for a longer period of time. And finally, the state is called the niruddha or nirodha, niruddha state, which is the total absorption finally. That means now you have arrested your mind completely to the point that it is now going nowhere. Staying at one single object or even without object eventually. Okay? That's the seedless state. The eventual state is the seedless state. Okay? And that's called the final nirbija samadhi. Nirbija means seedless. That's what it means. So I always think of this. We used to have a guy, Dean, who used to come to our sutra study group. He stopped coming. But he, you know, we always tried to bring some snack or something. So we asked him, what do you have in this bag? So he says, I have nirbija grapes. So we had just been talking about nirbija samadhi, seedless samadhi. So he says, I have nirbija grapes. He picked on those words. He had seedless grapes in his bag. Okay. So what does seedless mean? That means if there are no seeds, obviously you cannot bring out another plant out of it. There's no fruit that you can bring out. It won't grow anything. That means it's completely finished now. Seedless, that means nothing else can come up in your mind in that state. Seedless. Okay? So that's just the background. We always talk about this. And this is, a review of what we did last time, that when you practice all those three, dharana, dhyana and samadhi, it's called sanyama. Now remember there are eight limbs of yoga. Do you recall the eight limbs, what they are? Yamas. Niyamas,
asana, pranayama.
Yeah, there you go. And number five?
The one about sense withdrawal.
Yes, that's very good. Pratyahara. So, yamas and niyamas are the ethical and moral guidelines, yamas and niyamas, five each. Then asana is the practice of asana. Pranayama is breathing practices. Pratyahara is turning the senses inward. And then finally, the three states of meditation. Three stages of meditation, dharana, dhyana and samadhi. Eight limbs of yoga. What he's saying is that these three that we have talked about now, which is the sanyama part, which is the dharana, dhyana and samadhi, they are more internal compared to the preceding five. Okay? So, we have a practice of repeating the Sanskrit phrase, okay? Everyone remembers that? Okay, so you repeat after me. Trayam.
Trayam.
Antarangam.
Antarangam.
Purvebhyah.
Purvebhyah.
So, trayam.
Trayam.
Antarangam.
Antarangam.
Purvebhyah.
Purvebhyah.
And you do the whole thing. Trayam antarangam purvebhyah.
Trayam antarangam purvebhyah.
That's okay. That's okay. And the translation is that these three are more internal compared to the preceding five limbs. Asana, pranayama, they work on the body basically. Body, a physiological body, the mind. Even the mind is called external. Trust me, okay? Mind is called external. What we're saying is mind, where all the thoughts are coming in from outside, inside, wherever, that scattered mind, it's still called external. When you start getting into the states of meditation and you're able to focus deeper, then they become internal. So these three, final three, are internal compared to the previous five. Okay, that's what it all means.
The word for triumph is three. Antarangam, is
internal.
That preceding?
No, internal.
That's internal. Antarangam.
Purvebhya is preceding.
Preceding. Okay.
Purva means before.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Very good. Yep. So antaranga means internal limbs.
Internal limbs.
Okay.
Purvebhya is preceding.
Okay. All right. Okay, and then what it says is, this is the same explanation, internal. So the first five essentially work on the body, the physiological structure, the physical structure, the mind, etc. That's where the first five are. And then the last five are into the internal structure. And then the next one says, Kadapi, let's repeat that, Kadapi, Bahirangam, Nirbijasya. What that means is that even these three, Kadapi means even these three, are external as far as the Nirbija Samadhi is concerned. Nirbija, as we said, is seedless Samadhi, where there should be no object whatsoever. If there is no object, then anything that relates to an object is external to that state. Okay, so it's going deep. What it basically saying is, you're going from outside to inside, inward and inward and inward. Eventually going way deep inside where there's no movement. Zero. Okay, so that's the reason why he...
No being.
No movement of the thoughts.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Or we say I or something like that. Okay.
No movement of thoughts.
We don't. Yes. Okay.
That it's means
the same as, there is being, but there's only being.
The only.
Yes, but it's not a state of being.
No, it is a state of being. Yeah. It is only a state of
but
pure being.
It is the oneness of it all. Or the well, coming. I'm trying to. I'm not. Okay. So.
No. What it means is, what we're saying is, that there is constant movement in the thought process all the time. Because why? Because there is a whole bag of what we call samskaras. Samskaras are the past impressions.
Well, I get that from Buddhism.
Right. Okay. So those are the samskaras. They bring up thoughts all the time. Mm-hmm. What they're saying is, when you get into the nirbija samadhi, seedless. Those samskaras, which normally are seeds of further thoughts, they have become seedless now. So they cannot bring up more thoughts. That's the idea here. It's the samskaras, the past impressions, which have been made sort of infertile, so to say. Okay, they call them dagdha bija, burnt seeds. They are seeds. But they have been burnt away. That means now they cannot bring about any more fruit. And fruit in this case is thoughts, thought processes. Right?
Is there a difference between samadhi and moksha?
Well, samadhi leads to moksha.
Okay.
Moksha is freedom. Moksha means freedom. Freedom from the entire cycle of life and death. That's moksha. Samadhi is a step in that direction.
Is that where I'm getting in my head? I mean, I'm talking about my head only, not what you're saying, and I'm trying to understand this and get more depth here. then in that last stage is when everything ceases to be.
What does that mean?
Well, in my head, it means you evolve back into everything but nothing. That seems conflicting, but it's not. If you reach the, I haven't gotten there yet. But if you reach the, if you reach that ultimate step, then there's all sense of being, but no sense of being.
Yes, you can think of that, but yes.
Yes, it's...
There's no sense of being, yeah.
Yes, okay. That's
we are in a state of being, like she said. Mm-hmm. We are pure being at that point.
Yes,
and
yes.
And yet there's no sense of being.
In my head, it's
that's
no
perfect.
Sense of being.
That's perfect.
Okay, I wanted to understand.
We have lost that sense that we are something.
Thank you.
Okay, we have lost that sense that we are something. Although we are in a pure state of being... We are state of being, pure state of being,
but
we have lost all sense of being something.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
So that's a good way of looking at it. Very nice.
It's just my own little.
Okay. And then, I need to put that application here, so I can go to a full screen. I don't have that yet. Anyway, now Patanjali goes into what happens in the mind when we are in the states of meditation. what kind of transformations happen. Okay? So I think what I'm going to do is to not talk about this yet, okay? And just kind of give you a summary of what he's trying to say. That way you might have at least some idea of what he's trying to say. This whole discussion he has put somehow backwards. And so I'm just going to talk, okay? I hope that's okay with you. So what happens when we sit and meditate? Mind goes through changes. Every moment there is some constant. In any case, there is a transformation going on all the time anyway. Even when you're not meditating, there is some change going on in the mind. One moment you're thinking of this, the next moment you're thinking of that, and then that whole cycle keeps going. So there is a transformation going on all the time. Through the process of meditation, what we're trying to do is to channel that transformation into a specific direction for a specific purpose. The transformation will still go on, but it is now being controlled to result in something specific that we are interested in. And what we are interested in is obviously that state of nirbija samadhi, where there is seedlessness completely. That's the state that we want to be in. And so therefore, these stages of meditation will eventually help us get there. Okay, so what he's saying is that when you sit for meditation, first thing that happens is your mind is going to think of everything that you have in your mundane life going on. You're working on a project at work, you have some discussion with your spouse, your children, you went to the store, you had a hard time with the storekeeper, whatever. He calls them kind of mundane thought. The term he uses is sarvarthata. And in fact, that comes in a subsequent sutra, but the reason these commentators tell us why he has put the final state in the first sutra, and then subsequent sutras are later states. But anyway, let me just... So he uses the term sarvarthata. Okay, sarvarthata is the term he uses, where he says the mind is now completely scattered in thoughts of mundane activities that you are in the process of going through. Okay? So you're sitting for meditation here, and you're chanting your mantra, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, or whatever, I'm just picking something. Okay, and then suddenly, oh my God, I have, my boss called me this morning, and I have, I got very upset, etc., etc. Alright? That's called, he calls them sarvarthata. Sarva means all. All. It's all over the place. Okay, sarvarthata. So, let's actually go through this sutra, because this is really very important from understanding that aspect. So let me just go through this now. So sarvarthata. Let's all repeat that. Sarvarthata. Ekagratayoho.
Ekagratayoho.
Kshayodayau.
Kshayodayau.
Chittasya.
Chittasya.
Samadhi.
Samadhi.
Parinamaha.
Parinamaha.
So, two terms he is using here. One is sarvarthata, where the mind is now scattered all over the place. It's thinking of everything else going on around in your life. And then ekagrata. Ekagrata means one-pointedness. Because now you're sitting for meditation and you have an object of meditation in your mind and you're trying to focus on that. If you're able to stay focused on that even for a short amount of time, that's called ekagrata. That means you're able to stay one-pointed focus on some object. So what the sutra is saying, that so kshaya means to diminish, udaya means to rise. Okay? Kshaya means to subside or to diminish, udaya means to rise. And if, when you're sitting in meditation, there is kshaya of sarvarthata, that means there is diminishing of this scatteredness, I don't know if that's a word like that, scatteredness. Okay?
Yes.
works. We did it.
Yeah, it works very good.
Okay, so well. There is a diminishing of that, kshaya of that, and followed by udaya. Udaya means rising up of ekagrata, one-pointedness. Okay, then that transformation of the mind is called samadhi parinama. Parinama means transformation. That transformation of the mind where the all-pointedness begins to diminish, one-pointedness begins to rise or gather more steam, that change of the mind is called samadhi transformation.
Can you explain that word in the middle? That seems to be the key again. Kshaya.
Kshaya, kshaya udaya.
Kshaya udaya.
Kshaya is to diminish something, to kill something, to make something weaker, that's all kshaya. Udaya means rise.
Pretty cool, all in one word they've got.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yeah. Sanskrit is like that, right?
It's very compact, isn't it?
It's very compact, yes. So, kshaya udaya, that means both. So, he has combined sarvarthata with kshaya, ekagrata with udaya. Okay? When these two are there, then that state of the mind, chitta means mind, you know that, chittasya, that state of the mind is called samadhi parinama. Oh, I'm showing you these, I should be showing here. You can't read that. Sorry.
That is a wondrous word, but that so describes it. The sayo dai.
Kshaya, udaya, but then when you combine it, it becomes kshaya, udaya, and then it's all grammar, don't worry about that.
but it describes the what occurs.
The shift in the mind, yes, it does, yes. So, the key here is to understand that we are going to get all kinds of thoughts. Patanjali is fully aware of that. That you're going to get mundane thoughts, it's okay, nothing wrong with that. But when you're sitting for meditation, there are going to be moments when you feel that there is more concentration on your object of meditation for at least some amount of time. When that happens, that transformation, that change of the mind is called samadhi parinama. All right? So, you know, people tell me, you know, I ask everyone in the class to meditate regularly, right? That's my mantra. They say, you know, they'll come up at the end of the class, you know, I can't meditate. Why? My mind races around. It doesn't stay still. That's exactly the point.
Yeah. I love that reasoning. I mean, that you hear that everywhere, in every
right?
form
everyone
of meditation.
Says that, you know, I can't meditate. Why? Oh, my mind just—it doesn't want to stay still. It races all over the place. That's exactly the point. Patanjali recognizes that it's going to race around. It's going to go around, pick up everything that you have been involved with. But the idea is to sit down. Even if it happens for a few microseconds, it's okay. That's beautiful meditation. Okay, so. From sarvarthata to ekagrata, that's the initial goal. From all-pointedness, very scattered mind, to one-pointedness. Ekagrata is one-pointedness. Have you got that? That's the initial step in the state of meditation, in the different stages of meditation. Let's see what it says now. Sarvarthata. Vritti is created by the mundane thoughts. Ekagrata, the same object stays in the mind field for some time. And then the transformation when the distractedness, okay, the word he uses is distractedness, okay, is diminished and one-pointedness is retained for some amount of time. Okay? Now, this is the next one. So, when you have reached that point in your meditation where you have been able to transition from all-pointed or distractedness to one-pointedness for some amount of time, then there is a next step that's possible now, which is called the ekagrata parinama, or the transformation into deep one-pointedness. All right. So let's just read this sutra. Tataha punaha shantoditau tulya pratyayau chittasya ekagrata parinamaha. Okay, so now what happens? Shanta means peaceful. That means subdued, subsided, peace, shanta. Uditau means risen. Right? Same word, udit. Udaya, udita means risen. Shanta is peaceful or stabilized or sustained. Udita means risen. Okay? Tulya means equal. So when the pratyaya means content of the mind, we know that. Pratyaya means content of the mind. So when the content of the mind, when in the mind, what just subsided and just what just came up, they are both the same. Tulya means equal. They are both the same. So let's say now you have Om Namah Shivaya, right? That's your mantra. All right? And some other thought came in, you were able to subside that because you were concentrating more on the Om Namah Shivaya. All right? So Sarvarthata has gone away and you are able to focus on one-pointedness. But every thought, every time you chant the mantra or bring that thought of Om Namah Shivaya, is going to create an impression in the mind. Everything creates an impression. Everything. Even every single word that you utter is going to create an impression in the mind. And then something else will come up in the mind every moment. What it's saying is, what is suppressed and what comes up, when they become identical, it's the same thing. That was suppressed and that same thing comes up, then you are in the ekagrata parinama. Still change going on, constantly there is something being suppressed, something coming up, there is constant change going on. That change, that transformation is called the transformation of one-pointedness.
Limited knowledge here, but if you'll bear with me, I'm having trouble. If it comes up, I can't understand that statement. How can what comes up be the same? If you have a mantra, and you're doing your mantra, and you think of something that's the antithesis, the opposite of that.
So what we're saying is, first of all, let me explain that. It's a great question. What we're saying is that everything that's happening in the mind, everything, it's like a movie projector and screen, right? How does a movie work? Right? There are individual frames of the movie, right? Every frame is different from the previous frame and from the future frame. Every frame is different. But when we look at the screen, do we see the frames or we see the continuous movement? We don't see individual frames. It's a continuous movement. The lips are moving continuously, you're walking continuously, there's no break, but what's projected is individual frames. One frame, next frame, next frame, next frame. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing in the mind. Chanting your mantra. It may seem like you're chanting it continuously, but that's not the case. It's being projected one frame at a time. Every moment there's a change going on. There will be moments of nothing in there, and there'll be moments of something coming up. That break may be minuscule, it may be micro millisecond, nanosecond, or even less, who knows.
Mm-hmm.
There's a gap there, there's a break there. It's exactly like the projection on a picture, photo, you know, the screen. What you're saying is, we are able to suppress some thought momentarily, but what comes up in the next microsecond, nanosecond, is exactly the same thought that comes up.
Okay.
That's what seems to us as continuum, or it's a continuity of thought.
Okay.
It seems to us that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but at the deepest level, going up and down. It's going in and out.
Thank you.
All right? And there are all kinds of, you know, we discussed that krama thing, remember? It took us a long time to understand that. in our discussion group, we've had lots of discussion on these concepts. They're not easy to understand. You know, they're not easy to come by. Okay, so what is suppressed, if the same thing comes up the next moment, that moment will be very small time frame. That's the whole idea. Then we are in the ekagra state. Okay, that's the part, the next part now. Ekagrata, parinama. What's next here? Okay, so now we have to go back to our previous sutra that we missed. That was the first one. Oops. All right. What happened here? Okay. That's Bahiranga. I want the one after that. Ah, there it is. Okay. Now, let's just read this Sanskrit first. Then we can go on. So, vyutthana, the first word is vyutthana.
Vyutthana.
Nirodha.
Nirodha.
Sanskarayoho.
Sanskarayoho.
Abhibhava.
Pradurbhavau.
Okay. Let me repeat that first line first, okay? So, vyutthan, nirodha, sanskarayoho, abhibhava, pradurbhavau, nirodhakshana, chittanvayo, nirodha, parinamaha.
Parinamaha.
Parinamaha is the transformation. So now we are coming to the final transformation, which is called Nirodha Parinama. Okay? Now, the concept here is that once you have attained that state of ekagrata, or one-pointedness, okay, then what you want to do is to suppress even that thought. You want to suppress even your mantra, for example. Because eventually your mind has to be totally blank, no seed. Seedless means there's absolutely nothing in the mind. We may never get there. At least this is all intellectual understanding, all right? But we need to understand the concepts here. So what does it mean now? What it means is that when I'm sitting in meditation, I have come to that point where I'm able to bring up only one thought. It suppresses, it comes up. Suppresses, comes up, same object, same thought. Now I'm trying to go even deeper into my meditation. Okay, and with my effort, I'm now able to blank out even that thought. Okay? I'm able to blank out even that thought. The moment I blank it out, what goes into my samskara? It's that blank impression goes into the samskara. Blank. Everything goes into the samskara bag. The bag of samskara will carry everything, every thought, every feeling, every emotion now. So here what I'm doing is now I'm trying to suppress even my object meditation. Let's say I'm able to obliterate that for a moment. If I do that, what goes into my samskara? It's blankness. That's called nirodha in this case. Okay? So now what it's saying is that the thought came up, yutthana means something came up. Yutthana means coming up. Uttana or yutthana is the same thing, coming up of thoughts. Okay? And nirodha. Right? Nirodha is what did you say? Nirodha is the samskara when there was nothing in that blankness. Okay? So, There was and before that it came up as a samskara of whatever I was thinking about. Next moment, the blank thought that I had, so to say, okay, so one is coming up, the other is going down. Same thing like, you know, sarvarthata, ekagrata, etc. We've done that, right? One comes up, one goes down. When I say go down, it's creating an impression into the samskara bag. Now, what it's saying is that you have come to this most beautiful point now that you are able to create that state of blankness for a moment. And the moment that happens, it creates a samskara of blankness. All right? So, it's now going from that state of one thought, which is rising up sometimes, vyutthana, and then subsiding the same thought into a nothingness. That transition, chittasya, chittanvaya, that means that point of conjunction at that point where you are meeting from the state of something coming up and nothing going in, zero, that is called the nirodha parinama. That means now I have come to a transformation which means I have zero in my mind. Zero in my mind. Nothing coming up. I'm not saying we're going to get there, like I said, it's not a state that we're going to get there. But if we understand intellectually, at least if it happens, we'll know what happened. Otherwise, you might be confused. Oh my God, what is happening to me?
I would be very confused if I got to a state where nothing was wrong.
Okay, so no, but like I said, it's something to understand.
Can you go down a little bit?
Okay. All right. Why don't you read it loud then?
Can I ask another question? If we get there for, you know, a second. Or yes. Half a second mm-hmm. to that state. Can we be there and not recognize it? I mean, can we grasp little itty bitty moments? I mean,
what do you mean grasp it?
Not grasp. I don't want to use the word grasp at all. I want to use the opposite of that.
Why do you worry about that? Let it happen. That's it.
Okay. Okay.
Don't analyze that then at that point. Don't think about it, because if you start thinking about it, it's going to create all kinds of impressions in your mind then. You've lost it then.
Okay.
They say if that happens, let it happen.
Okay.
Do nothing. Enjoy.
I feel like I've had that, but then not a lot. I mean, I've been
but even if it's
happened,
it doesn't matter.
A second matter. Here, a second there.
It doesn't matter. If it yeah. happens, it happens. Let yeah. it happen. Let it, you know, just live through it. That's it.
Okay.
Start analyzing it. You've lost it, in a sense. You want to read that whole sentence, Laura?
Yeah. The impressions which normally arise are made to disappear by the appearance of suppressive efforts, which in turn create mental modifications. The moment of conjunction of mind and new modification is Nirodha Parinama.
Okay, so it's a very difficult concept to understand, but the whole idea is that I am substituting what's coming up, which is of a previous samskara, with a samskara of nothingness, nirodha samskara. Okay? And that conjunction of the mind at that point, when I'm doing the substituting, that's the nirodha parinama. And eventually this will lead to nothingness coming up, nothingness going down, which is the final niruddha state of the nirbija samadhi. That's the ultimate state of samadhi then. Because what's coming up is no bij, no seed in there, and what's going down is no seed, no bij in there. So I've reached the final state of my meditative effort, which is the state of nirbija samadhi. Okay? At least we need to understand this at an intellectual level. You get the idea? All right, so that's the whole concept of meditation. So vyutthana samskara is deep-seated impressions surfacing up you know, it could be either deep-seated impressions or it could be just the impression that you just put it in. It doesn't matter. Okay? Nirodha is suppressive impression being created through meditation, and Parinama is the transformation. The mind is aware of this suppression. Highest state of Sanyama, that's what it is, basically. And once that happens, then of course, Prashanta Vahita. So let's read this. Tasya Prashanta Vahita Sanskarat. So what it means is, now this Nirodha Parinama that we have created, okay, because it's the same samskara going in and same samskara coming out, which is of nothingness, then it flows very beautifully. Shantam. It's in a very peaceful state of flow now, and we can maintain that state for some time then. Where nothingness results in nothingness. More nothingness results in more nothingness. And we are in a state of total peace. Of course, anything can distract it. You know, suddenly a sound comes from outside and, oh my God, I forgot to turn my heat off or whatever, you know. Then you're all back in your normal state of life. Then that happens all the time. But if you can get there, they say, you will love it. If you can ever get there. It's the most enjoyable state. Well, like Denise said, there are always, you know, when you sit and meditate for long periods of time, and I know you all mentioned that also, that there are moments where you feel that the mind has become kind of thoughtless even for the briefest moments. Briefest of moments. If that happens to you, or when that happens, that is a moment of total inner bliss, so to say.
I can actually feel the time that that has happened to me, or if, you know, sometimes after a meditation, it's like something special has occurred, but you have no words, no anything to define, but there's something inside of you that's so good, or,
that's exactly right.
The freedom. I use freedom a lot because I love that.
That's
very real.
That happens.
For me, that freedom and the value of that. But it just feels, and I think, just doing the same thing I did yesterday.
That happens.
But
it's very special. Okay.
I always get confused between samskara and samsara.
Oh no, samskara is the impressions. Okay. Sansara has a different couple of different meanings. Sansara is used normally for this whole cycle of birth and rebirth.
Yeah.
That's called sansara. Okay, so, and this whole creation is called sansara in that sense. But that's the cycle which we go through. We, you know, physically we are declared dead, then we, our atma, our soul, finds a different body to inhabit, and then we are reborn, etc. That's called samsara. Sanskaras are carried with you. That's the bag. You know, it's the bag of impressions that we carry with us. It goes with us from
through samsara.
It goes with us through samsara.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. I always get confused.
No. It stays with us. That's what we carry with us. That's what we are born with. This whole bag full of samskaras. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So we've done all this. Patanjali has somehow done this backward. You know, he has done the final Nirodha Parinama first, and then he talked about the other two, for whatever reason. He wanted to, I guess, initially introduce you to the final concept and then go through the rest. I don't know why he did that. Okay, so we've done all this. All right, now, this is something that's there. I'm not going to go through this because I don't understand it very well myself. You know, I've been struggling with it, with these concepts for a while, and I don't know, if you understand this, you can explain it. Remember when we went through this, I still thought that I was kind of hazy.
Mm-hmm.
on this. I can tell you the basic idea. So what he's saying is that there is this whole concept of something called a substratum, so to say, which is the term they use is dharmi, the substratum, the base stuff that we have. And is that goes through transformation in terms of the time, in terms of space, etc. So for example, when you talk of the mind, in one case, at one instance of time, it is in the state of sarvarthata, that means it's going all over the place. Next instance of time, it is in the state of ekagrata, one-pointedness. So transformation has gone on. But what is at the substratum which never changes? It's the pure awareness, pure consciousness that never changes. And that's the concept he's trying to bring in through these few sutras, which I'm not going to go through. But I'm just going to tell you what they're talking about. What they're saying is, it's the same concept of, so there are three things they talk about, dharma, lakshana, and avastha. Okay? Dharma is the state of being. For example, ekagrata is the dharma of mind. Same thing, vyutthana is a state of mind, okay? Nirodha is a state of mind. That's called the dharma of the same mind which is stable. Mind, when I say mind, it's the substratum. Lakshana is the transformation or the change that's going on. And avastha is whether it was in the past or whether it's in the present or it's in the future, etc., etc. They always give this example of clay. Okay, so you have clay, for example, you have dirt, right? Now you put water and a few other things into it and you make a lump of clay. Now it's like a dough of clay, okay? And then you make it into a shape of a pot, okay? And then you bake it to make it a firm pot, right? And then suddenly, you know, it drops down and goes back into these, you know, pieces, pellets or whatever. And then eventually, if you crush it enough, it becomes the same dirt that it came from. So the dharma here is the clay or the dirt itself. That's the dharma. That never changes. Okay? The dharmi or the substratum. Substratum is still the clay or the dirt. Right? Gold, for example, right? Gold is the substratum. Now, if you have the intention of making it into a bracelet, that bracelet becomes its dharma. If you make it into a necklace, that becomes its dharma. But the basic substratum is still gold. It doesn't change its characteristic. And then you can have states, you know, yesterday it was gold, now it is bracelet. Okay? Yesterday it was new, today it's old. All those are things that are kind of explained in these sutras, which, like I said, I'm not 100% comfortable explaining because I don't have confidence in understanding them exactly.
Are you talking about the essence of the foundation of life?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. A foundation of what
all
we are.
Things.
Everything.
Yes, all things. Yes.
Patanjali is talking about mind, basically. His focus is mind. So this is what we're talking about. What he says is that whether you talk of the mind, but the same concept also applies to everything that's around us, the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And also, who are the perceivers of those five elements? These are organs of instruments of action or the perception, eyes, ears, etc. And then all that's going on with this, for example, with the earth, we're doing the sense of smell. Okay, with the water, we are doing the sense of sight, etc., etc. With air, sense of touch. Okay, with ether, sense of hearing. They're all connected. That's what he is saying. And you can apply the same principles to no matter what you're talking about. Whether it's one of these five elements, whether it's one of the five senses, whether it's the mind, whether it's the deepest state of the mind, no change. The concepts are identical. Okay, so that's the whole concept of meditation. Now, why did Patanjali talk about all this dharma and the substratum and being able to make the transformation? Because this whole chapter 3, where this is a part of, is all about creating supernormal powers. Supernormal. You can do all kinds of things. You can become small, you can become big, you can enter somebody else's mind and change their mind and change their thoughts. All kinds of things we have studied. How does that happen? Because of all these principles that he is talking about. Because now we are able to focus so much that I am able to transform my mind, and in the same way I can transform these elements, 5 elements, I can transform my own thinking, my five senses, and because everything else is a part of the same elements, so I can transform something that's over there. I can transform all that. I can do whatever I want to do with it. So if there's a wall here, okay, I can pierce through the wall. Because now I am able to make those atoms that make the wall, make it ether. Transform all that into ether. Alright? If she has a problem and she gives me the permission, I can enter her mind. It's her thought process.
I believe that. I can't do it, but I believe it.
But that's the kind of stuff that Patanjali talks about here. And that's why he has brought about these concepts into the picture as to how we can create such powerful minds which can make all these changes. All right? So...
Was he supposed to be a person who could do this?
Our assumption is we don't know. His life is, nobody knows what his life was like.
Okay.
All we know is that he gave us this entire grammar of Sanskrit.
Yeah.
He gave us this entire science of Ayurveda, which is the science of life and medicine and all that. Everything. And he gave us yoga. So he must have been a super mind anyway.
It all came from him?
It all came from him.
I had no idea.
It all came from him.
I know.
So unless he had any of these superpowers, he couldn't have done all this.
No, it wouldn't. How would he have gotten it? Yeah.
Right? So there are all kinds of examples in our history, in our culture, where people have done things which are totally unbelievable, unimaginable. And yet these are all known. So there has to be something which people have been able to achieve based on either past lives, or something that they have done in this life by sheer effort of meditation. And they can attain all these supernormal powers. But then Patanjali also gives a very strong rider there. He says, do not get stuck with these powers. They are an impediment to your final goal of liberation. You may get these powers, but if you get stuck and start showing off, you lost everything then.
You become the power, you lose it. Yeah.
You lost everything then. It's meaningless then. Okay? They might happen. If you can use it for some good purpose, that's fine. If you can fix somebody else's problems, it's okay to do that. But,
does Patanjali ever bring up the concept of Brahman?
No, Patanjali does not bring up the concept of Brahman. Brahman is a Vedanta concept, not a yogic concept.
Okay.
Patanjali only talks about Purusha and Prakriti, the two aspects. Purusha is the pure consciousness and Prakriti is the material creation, so to say. Okay. Vedanta concept of Brahman is above and beyond all this. It encompasses this, but it goes beyond that. Because then they say it's only one reality, which is Brahman. Okay, that's Vedanta concept. And we have consciously stayed away from discussing any concepts of Vedanta because we want to stay with Patanjali. Otherwise it gets confusing.
He does talk about Ishvara.
Right.
Ishvara is separate, not Brahman. So, and again, Patanjali's concept of Ishvara is slightly different from the Vedantic concept of Ishvara. That's why we again don't talk about that, because then we can get confused. Okay, because Vedanta, it talks about Maya and then Ishvara and all that, but we don't talk about Maya and Ishvara.
I feel like from a Vedanta point of view, someone would read this and think that reaching ekagrata would be kind of like union of like one's atma with the Brahman.
Well, that's exactly what Vedantins say.
Yeah.
You're right, but that's their goal eventually. But then there is no concept of, in Patanjali there is no concept of Brahman, so there is no concept of that oneness of Atma and Paramatma. Okay? It's just once you get there, okay, then your mind is so open, so vast, then you can go anywhere. Then you can reach Brahman, you can reach wherever you want to do. Patanjali's goal is simply to purify the mind. Remember when we read that? Purify the mind. Get rid of all the impurities, get rid of all the samskaras in the mind. Purify to a point that nothing comes up. It totally becomes nirbija. When you're there, then who cares what comes next? Whatever comes next is okay. Because then you will have no ego to worry you, no ego to bother you. Ego has been completely dismantled now. I mean the bad part of ego. Ego works with samskaras. If samskara is gone, ego is meaningless then.
Yeah.
Then you're free. That's freedom. That's called freedom. Liberation is called freedom. And that in Patanjali's term, it's called Kaivalya. Kaivalya is the same term in Patanjali's language, which people call liberation or freedom or whatever else you want to call it. Okay? Once you're there, fat, dumb and happy then. Nothing to worry about.